Okay to go?
Yep.
Okay, we are now at the June 11th, 2024 City Council meeting. We will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Seaver, you want to lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, ready for roll call?
Yep.
Please.
Coke?
Here.
Transier?
Here.
Plocher?
Here.
Soling?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Merrick?
Here.
Terulis?
Here.
Cornelius?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Sweet, thank you very much. I have no amendments to the agenda. We do have a presentation though. The Yorkville Youth Baseball Softball Association, which is also known as the YYBSA recognition. Tim, would they help us out with these ball fields right behind us here?
Yeah.
Two fences?
Just real quick, I want to introduce the Yorkville Youth Baseball Softball Association. Rusty, the president's here, Tom and Josh are here. Not only have they been a great partner with the city for decades now, especially over the last few years, Rusty's been a great partner with us and Tom and Josh to come and help volunteers out at events like Hometown Days. But over the years, they have donated tens of thousands of dollars to the city to help us put in outfield, ball field fences at numerous parks at Fox Hill and here. Just in the last year here at Remen Schneider, they donated $10,000 so we could put in the two outfield fences here. This is not only a great thing for all the kids that are participating in our programs and in their programs, but just all the kids in the community. You see them out practicing. Now they have a nice outfield fence and a nicer place to play. So I just want to recognize them and thank them for everything they've done for the community this year and in the past years.
So didn't you just finish these fences here recently?
We finished this one here in the spring, and this one we literally finished just today.
Right over here. So everyone, if you want to look out the window at this cool fence. That fence is so awesome. Look at it. There's already kids out there playing. They said they're doing a fence dance right now.
Yes.
So you guys come out here for a picture. We all like pictures.
Close.
You got the fox. Is this good or you want to move somewhere else?
Absolutely great. Got it.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
guys. Helps out. Works out great when the community works.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
You can stay around if you want.
Rusty,
we'll see you around, Rusty. That's right. So, we'll talk after.
Thank you.
Excellent. I like that. Thank you very much. We have no public hearings today, correct?
Correct.
I guess we don't have the person taking the minutes over there. Okay. Citizen comments on the agenda. Is there anyone who would like to speak to items listed on the agenda? If so, step forward and state your name, please. Oh, over here, you know where it goes.
Hello. My name is Boyd Ingemundson. I want to speak on a very important item on the agenda tonight, which is the potential acquisition of the FS property in downtown Yorkville. I've talked to a few of you already about this. As a lifelong resident of Yorkville and a business owner in downtown, I cannot impress upon you how important this would be to the community and the businesses in downtown, the businesses in Yorkville as a whole. That property sits as basically a giant albatross in downtown Yorkville at this point. We all know about the brownfield. We all know about the potential remediation that's required for that property. That in and of itself, I think, is even more of the reason why the city should step up and acquire this. Not because the city would have to potentially remediate it, because I don't think the city should ever have to remediate it. The potential of that property, just in convertible space, make it parking, have community events there. All of that could be accomplished for not too much of a cost input from the city's perspective. And the potential for the downtown area and the downtown businesses is immense. And the flip side is the city controls it. In the future, if the downtown develops and that property becomes more valuable, the city has a right to, at some point, do RFPs. They can sell to any developer they wanted to if that's the city's future desire to have that property develop. But in the short term, the deal that is potentially on the table is such a minimal cost to the city in the long run to develop that, but to just make it the opposite of an albatross and a city center. There are so many business owners in downtown Yorkville, and the best part about Yorkville is all of these vested stakeholders in downtown Yorkville, and they're all residents of Yorkville. That's one of the most unique things about this community is the business owners. And about this time, about a year ago, the city, we all know about the 1% food and beverage tax. And we know the city's faced with a $100 million water project. And a lot of business owners weren't happy about that 1% sales increase. But the money has to come from somewhere. And I wasn't here for any of those discussions, but I'm sure there was a lot of discussion. And part of the reasoning behind that tax was you're not directly taxing your citizens. And you're taxing people that come to Yorkville, go to the restaurants, go to the bars, and you're not taxing the residents to pay for that water. So this is a perfect opportunity to pay back to the businesses, to have minimal cost input, to do something in that area, which is immediately going to spearhead all the events we have down there, your Oktoberfest, Summer Solstice, River Night, Margaritas and Mayo. Parking is always an issue. This will immediately change that. And I cannot impress enough about the importance of this for the future of downtown. And I mean, one of the things I absolutely love about this community is the collaboration with the businesses in the city. I mean, our government really works for the benefit of the businesses, where this day and age, you don't get that. You really don't. There's so much distrust for government, and the best part about Yorkville is it's streamlined. We can go directly to to Bart, to the alderman, to the mayor about issues and work together, and we address those. And that's why I love Yorkville. And if we're stuck in the state, I'd sure rather be stuck in Yorkville than anywhere else. And I just cannot impress upon all of you enough to support this and vote yes for the acquisition. And it will be the first step of many steps that are really, really going to make downtown Yorkville really something to behold. So I thank you for your time, and I impress vote yes. And let's do this downtown. Let's make it a place that we all want to be proud of. Thank you.
Thank you. So anyone else would like to speak to an item on the agenda? Same thing, please state your name for the record.
Jonas Hagos. I won't take long. Sorry. I've been in Kendall County since 2008. Moved to Yorkville in 2016. Got two kids. I have plans to move into Florida before COVID, and decided to give Yorkville a shot, opened up a few businesses, and I love the community. And like the last speaker said, if I was outside of Yorkville, I would have probably moved. Yorkville has kept me in, it's become my home, and I own a business in the downtown Yorkville area named Dakota's, and there's a lot of great business owners. The property we're discussing about the city purchasing, it's an eyesore. You know, the downtown's got phenomenal restaurants and bars. It's got so much potential. The riverfront's phenomenal. And I don't like taxes being raised, I'll be honest, but I believe what we're doing is gonna attract a lot of people. And I got friends throughout the DuPage County, and most of them come to Yorkville. We're all family owned, we all support each other. And I know it's not an easy decision to make, but it will help the city, it will help the citizens. It will bring many opportunities. A lot of us that sit in this room have put our money where our mouth is, and I appreciate you guys' time, and I hope you vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak to an item on the agenda? Good evening, Molly. I know you know the routine.
My name's Molly Kremsky. I just wanted to say a few comments about eliminating ordinances as they become inconvenient, either through legislation, which you're attempting to do with the tattoo parlor, or through failure to enforce, as was done with the drag shows. I wouldn't consider either of them good governance in these instances. Both situations ignore the secondary effects on the community, and they deprive the council of their power to mitigate those secondary effects. And you know, we just passed the UDO, and there was no conversation about revising the tattoo parlor ordinances at all and removing all of those location restrictions. There are reasons that those ordinances were put in place, and there are reasons that don't go out of style. People will always want safe spaces for their kids. People don't want their backyards to be on the edge of a tattoo parlor. And other businesses want to focus on meeting the basic needs of the local community without having to deal with crime and unruly customers that are drawn into town by offering adult entertainment. You've explained to us many times that you're powerless to stop businesses from opening in town where there are not already zoning ordinances in place to prohibit that business. These short-sighted decisions to eliminate ordinances that you seem to see as annoying barriers to your personal plans create a situation that robs this council and future councils of the power to control the culture, the peace, and the safety of the community. That's something that's a lot more important to most of us than having convenient tattoos or increased tax revenues. Having all the money in the world won't matter if our kids aren't safe. And as I've always said, Yorkville has really great ordinances, if only we would uphold them. I realize that there was no site that would work for this tattoo parlor, and that's kind of why we're into changing some of these ordinances, and that makes sense. The location that has been selected seems, you know, relatively decent. But I'm in favor of discussions about leaving some of the restrictions in place. We don't want to become powerless to mitigate the proven undesirable secondary effects that certain business types have on the community. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak to anything on the agenda? Okay, thank you. Next we have the consent agenda, which includes the minutes for May 14 and May 28. And the bills for $1,147,056.80. Is there a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Merrick and I think it was Plocher.
Yeah, somebody with Merrick.
Okay, it was Seaver. Okay. This no discussion on this according to Mr. Funkhauser. Roll call, please.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Aye.
Cornels.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, next we're to the mayor's report. First thing is, you know, many times I have items that are not listed on the agenda, and as Bart kindly reminded me, thank you Bart, the city has been tentatively awarded over $18 million, and I think you all received an email on this, from the IEPA, a low interest loan for Lake Michigan Water. I think somebody talked about that just a moment ago. So that, Rob, those terms are pretty good. They stretch out the payments and the interest is pretty low, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so that's a positive thing. So just good news. Can report that in WSPY. I think you're with WSBY, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for that too, Bart. Okay, so the next thing we have is, well, actually, I want to back up a second. Tim, we had a fantastic event last Thursday. What do you call it, the beach party, schools out bash?
School out, summer bash, great turnout, great event. Thank you to everyone that attended, as well as thank you to the police department for being out there, being a presence, making it safe. So it was an outstanding event, second year. You see it growing and growing every year from here on out.
Yeah, it was fun. It was just a huge crowd. And Jim, you were there too. And I saw Maddie Merrick there as well.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Matt? That was a great event, wasn't
it?
Yeah. Yeah, people are having fun.
Kids had fun. Yeah, there's things for kids of all ages. So I took the little guy, we did all the stations. The older kids were hanging out playing volleyball because there was a great setup up on the side. It was perfect.
Yeah, the bubble machine or the foam machine, that thing was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
I was playing with that too.
The local Boy Scouts that came out and brought some activities as well. That was a new addition this year, so it was great to do that.
Yeah. Matt, when you said you did all the stations, it reminded me of Stations of the Cross. I'm like, are we talking about Catholic Mass here or something? You get that.
Sounds
like. Excellent. So, well, thank you, Tim. Thank you, Matt, Jim. Okay, next we have CC 2024-47, 121 East Van Emmon Street, the FS property. So there's two separate motions we're going to need. The first is to authorize the acquisition, and the second is to make the amendment to the budget. They do both require six votes, so we can have discussion after we get the motion on the table, but I'm looking for a motion to approve an ordinance authorizing the acquisition of real estate and approval of a real estate purchase agreement with Grundy Bank as trustee under trust agreement dated December 31st, 2009, and known as trustee number 1505, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Second.
Merrick and Soling. Discussion, please. Mr. Funkhauser.
On this one, I want to see the downtown grow. I want to see some improvements down there. I want to see our downtown to be successful. It's been a plan of ours for years. This one is a substantial challenge for me for a few reasons. Brownfield is one of them. There are some unknowns, I feel, with that. I know I had asked for potentially, you know, some time for some due diligence with the state. That's obviously not going to be happening. I do think that the valuation of the property is high. I haven't seen appraisals on the property, so you know, we're kind of, this was a negotiated price that was brought forward. And then the last one is I just don't know the plan details enough to understand the cost that we're going to have for this improvements here. So those are just the concerns that I have about this. A lot of unknowns. I think a little time would have been able to reveal some of those and give me a little more comfort. The way that this is kind of rushing through, it just does not give me comfort. I would really hope that, you know, the success of this would disprove my concerns and alleviate them, but that's just kind of where I'm at, is my unknowns on this are my concern, and we probably could have alleviated that. Hopefully this does work out for the best for the city downtown. It's just, I have too many questions.
Thank you. Other questions or comments? Roll call, please. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
With the remediation, I've had extensive discussions with Bart and with experience through my work with remediation. I really am not super concerned with the way things are at. Whereas if we're capped now, if we remain capped, it's only going to get better. It's not going to get worse. And dissipation over time, when we do come to a point, if we do decide to sell, if we do decide to develop it, wherever we go, we're probably going to have costs, but it's not going to be as exuberant as people may think it is. So I'm quite comfortable with taking on that risk. I think the rewards will definitely outweigh the risk.
Okay. Other comments?
We had individuals previously, I think I may have been on park board at the time when we looked at that, and they came back to be, as long as it was capped and you weren't trying to, you know, dig in and put buildings in, that was sort of satisfied the EPA at that point in time. You know, we haven't done anything like that down there yet, so parking lot would be a cap.
Other questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Clocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next, we have an ordinance authorizing the First Amendment to the annual budget of the United City of Yorkville. Rob, we're in June and we're on our First Amendment. That's a record late, isn't it? Usually sooner than that. Anyway, First Amendment to the budget commencing May 1st, 2024 and ending on April 30th, 2025. I'm looking for a motion and a second.
No move.
Second.
Okay, Rob, just briefly, we've got the money budgeted, but there's two TIFs, and this just takes the monies and puts it in the TIF where this is being purchased from?
Correct.
Okay. Questions, comments? It does require six votes. Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your support, everyone. And we are on to bond council reauthorization. Okay. Next item is bond council reauthorization. We recently approved one firm, but the main people who we were using for years switched firms just since that time, and we would like to stick with the same firm. Kathy, do you want to talk about this briefly?
You explained it flawlessly.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
That was a great answer.
It's okay. Right. So it is, and Rob can confirm this, we would rather stay with the individual attorneys than the firm when we have had excellent experience working with us in our financing. And Rob, you and I discussed this, and you were the one that gave me the direction to contact them.
Questions, comments?
We need a motion.
Oh, we need a motion?
It would be best to have a motion so that we have a record in the minutes. Thank you.
Oh, well, okay.
Motion to...
Coke?
Second.
Second by Merrick, and the motion was to authorize staff notify Saul Ewing LLP that Yorkville is requesting the city's bond file matters be released and transferred to Jim Durkin and Randall Coulot, now of Croak Fairchild Duarte and Barris. Wow. And appoint Croak Fairchild Duarte and Barris as new bond council. Okay. Discussion? Roll call.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yeah.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very well, thank you. Okay, next, we have 2024-49. A motion to approve a resolution authorizing purchase of a Ford 250 truck from Jovic Ford in an amount not to exceed $52,159.11 and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Was that Transier?
It was not.
Oh, it was not. It's Funkhauser?
Yeah.
And Plocher? Yeah. Now, this is a single source, is that correct?
It is.
Okay, but they have one on the ground so we can get it. This does require six votes. And,
yes.
And to that point, though, we have asked staff in the future to check a couple different places. It seems like we're starting to get a little more vehicles. They're not plentiful, but they're starting to get a little more. So next vehicle, we'll at least see if there's other options. But right now, we want to snag this one. Any questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay, next, I'm looking for a motion to approve an ordinance authorizing the acquisition of certain easements for the construction of water mains from the Meyer Trust in the amount not to exceed $41,221, and I think it was 28 cents or something like that. Okay, perfect. I remember that 28 cents.
Almost.
Second.
Terulis, Koch. Any discussion on this? This is for the Green Door property or project?
Yes.
I had a question.
Sure.
Would it be possible to do this without having to compensate for the loss of crops? Would there be a better time to use the property to put in the infrastructure?
It's not just putting it in. It's the damage that's done to the soil afterwards.
Okay, so.
It's compacted. It takes years.
Okay, so once it's in, crops are unsustainable for several
less
cycles.
Yield, so are you?
Okay, well, thank you.
Yep.
Well, good question.
I don't know anything about farming, so I'm here to ask.
You know, farmers provide me a lot of food for this belly, and I appreciate it.
Other questions? Roll call.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Trulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent, thank you. Okay, next we have appointments to boards and commissions. That list is somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, right there. I'm looking for a motion to approve the appointment of Dan Lane to the Park Board, Jorge Ayala to the Park Board, Wendy Gass to the Library Board.
Second.
Soling and Merrick. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Yes.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Trulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Thank you very much. Public Works Committee report.
No report.
Okay. Is that because you were just not looking to do anything, or? EDC report. Okay.
A motion to approve an ordinance repealing and replacing Title III, Chapter 10 of Yorkville City Code, tattooed and body purchasing, establish and authorize the mayor and mayor to execute.
Is there a second?
Second.
That was, who was that?
Merrick.
Okay, so we're going to start with discussion here, and just a response or to address the concern. I understand some people have concerns. That's fair. This amendment limits it to one license, so we can have 10 other people want to apply, but unless the council decides they want to change it in the future, this limits it to one. The hours of operation will be limited from, was it 10 to 6 Monday through Saturday, closing Sunday, correct? Okay, so do we need to read it or is that good enough?
No, that's it.
Perfect. Okay, discussion, other discussion. Anyone?
Hey, I just wanted to say that I did want to look at the setbacks and, you know, insert some setback in lieu of eliminate them completely. But I do appreciate the restriction of quantity at the council's discretion, and that's where I'm given some comfort on it, is we have authority to set how many and when those are actually added, if ever. So it's kind of a compromise, not quite the way I wanted it to be, but it is a compromise point on that one. So, and then I guess this is a question for Kathy. If the council ever said we wanted to repeal the ordinance, the number of licensing, would that then, if a person had a license issued to them, that would not be able to be renewed? How would that work?
They would be grandfathered as it was legal when the license was issued.
As long as their license is.
Correct. And continued. As long as they're current, they're obeying all of the criteria, laws, regulations.
And the license does require a background check too, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that'll be conducted as well.
And the license wouldn't be able to be transferred, correct?
Correct.
So once it's issued in one individual's name, they would have to go through a...
They would have to go through the same scrutiny that the initial applicant must go through.
And I know we discussed this in committee, and I don't have any adhered objections to the tattoos. I know a lot of people get them, and they're more popular now than I think they've ever been. The location, there are empty storefronts in that particular area. I myself hear a lot more of the bands coming from Roadhouse on the weekends than I would imagine hearing coming from the tattoo parlor, and I'm about a mile away. So that's first and foremost in my mind, the noise as opposed to the occupants. So I don't think we're going to have the same type of potential nuisance with noises coming from a tattoo parlor, so I don't have any real problem.
They have to scream real loud here outside those walls.
From what I'm told, some people probably do.
So this is just the first step in the process, right? The ordinance, and then if a vendor comes and asks for a license, we will see that at some point in time too, then.
No, the licensing process is administrative. So once you've created the license, then the applicant is allowed to apply.
And if
there's an open license, then it's granted accordingly. So, and the applicant actually has already turned in the materials and are waiting for city council approval. So we've been conducting background checks and other things.
So yeah, I listened in on the EDC meeting. Are there any guidelines for like the facade? How, I mean, can they, we're not gonna get like spotlights and, you know, psychedelic, that kind of stuff, right?
Well, whatever any other business can do in town in that zoning district, the tattoo, you know, business would be able to do the same. So, so whatever you granted elsewhere, can be used by them.
Other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay. Public Safety Committee. Thanks for showing up.
No report.
Guessing these people. Admin Committee.
No report.
Park Board.
I do have two items, Mr. Mayor. First off, this Thursday is the Yorkville Education Foundation School City Golf Outing at Blackberry Oaks Golf Course. So if anyone is still interested in signing up or taking registration, or if you'd like to come out and just enjoy the event, that would be great. And then secondly, Friday, June 21st and Saturday, June 22nd is Summer Solstice in downtown Yorkville. All the details for that event can be found on the Summer Solstice website.
We should have Boyd speak about that.
I didn't think about it until he left.
Yeah. Shoot. Yeah, that's good. We got a couple more great activities and less than a month away from 4th of July.
It's right around the corner. We're working on the float already.
You don't get a lot of sleep this time of year, do you?
Between now and Thanksgiving.
Excellent. Thank you. Planning and Zoning Commission.
No report.
Thank you. City Council.
No report.
Thank you. City Clerk.
No report.
Community and liaison?
I have two things. The Yorkville Library Board was pleased to announce the passing of Senate Bill 3563, which lowers the threshold for the amount of its treasury bonds. Used to be 50%, it's now been lowered to 10%, which saves the library a significant amount of money. They also wanted to report that they, according to their numbers so far, visits are up 19% this year versus last year.
That's awesome.
So, we're doing good things in the library.
They have a lot of nice activities there now. They really do draw people in. Anything else? Anything down the other end? The other book end? No? Okay. Staff report?
No further reports.
Do we have anything on the buildings or water study?
Nothing.
Additional business? Any citizen comments on any other item?
Hi, Molly Krumsky again. I just wanted to take a minute to recur to some founding principles in the context of Pride Month, which I'm grateful to all of you that we do not celebrate. And I'm gonna explain why we can never, in good conscience, do so. And it's gonna take me a minute to get to my point, so hopefully you'll find that worthwhile. The Articles of Confederation of the United Colonies of New England, so the 13 colonies, were signed in 1643. They were the first joint government in America. The following is a quote from that document. Whereas we all came into these parts of America with one and the same end and aim, namely to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity with peace. The Declaration of Independence, signed in 1776, reveals America's God, Jesus Christ, in four biblical ways. One, nature's God. Two, creator. Three, supreme judge of the world. And four, divine providence. This document also states that our rights come not from man or from government, but from God. Which God? Jesus Christ, the God of our founders. These God-given rights are listed in the U.S. Constitution as the Bill of Rights, 10 amendments enumerated and approved in 1791. The first enumeration of this Bill of Rights contains, among other things, the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause. The free exercise clause prohibits the government from interfering in anyone's personal religious practices, as long as those practices do not infringe upon the rights of others. The establishment clause prohibits one Christian denomination from being elevated above another Christian denomination on a federal level. It prohibits the formation of a state-run church. Our founders came here to worship Jesus Christ freely without denominational interference, which they referred to as religious interference. They were fleeing the oppressive state-run Church of England. The Establishment Clause was never intended to secularize the government. America was clearly founded upon the governmental authority of Jesus Christ. Jefferson, who wrote the letter to the Danbury Baptist, which included the phrase separation of church and state, regularly attended church inside the U.S. Capitol building. In fact, he attended services in that building 2 days after penning that famous letter. Consider these words from Patrick Henry, ratifier of the U.S. Constitution, and the guy famous for declaring, "Give me liberty or give me death." Henry said, quote, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, which we would refer to as religious denominations, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here," end quote. So while America's founding documents demand that it operate as a Christian nation, preserving Christian values in the public square, we, in a Christ-like manner, will not force anyone to swear allegiance to our God. They will, however, be expected to respect the Christian mandate upon which our nation was founded and currently functions. Our constitutions were written to protect the rights of individuals by restraining the power of the government. In this modern era, servants of the people, our aldermen, trustees, congressmen, don't have a knowledge of or abide by the constitutions to which they have sworn an oath to uphold. And the people, who are the equally as ignorant head of the government, have abandoned our responsibility to properly oversee the functioning of the republic. Article 1, Section 23 of the Illinois Constitution recommends that we frequently recur to our founding principles if we want them to endure. And there's a force among us that's been working hard to make sure they don't endure. Our founding documents were written by common people, for common people. They're easy to read and to understand. It's time for we the people to re-engage so that we can govern effectively when elected by our friends and neighbors. It's time for we the people to understand how our constitutional republic functions so we can responsibly operate as its head. I'm going to focus on one example this June, presented in the form of several questions and answers with regard to public licentiousness and depravity, both of which are restricted in the public square by the Illinois Bill of Rights. Question number one, do individuals in this room have a right to choose and celebrate their own sexuality? Answer, yes, they do. The Constitution protects individual freedoms. The people have been given free will by our Creator. Our Constitution states that we cannot be denied the opportunity to operate in and express that free will in our individual lives, up until the point that that free expression infringes upon other rights, other people's rights, of course. Question number two, do the individuals on this council have a right to come together as elected representatives and declare a month or a day or an hour or a single moment for the public celebration of sexuality? Answer, no, they do not. The free exercise of religion, protected in Article 1, Section 3 of the Illinois Constitution, does not extend so far as to allow public licentiousness. And Article 1, Section 20 prohibits public depravity and lack of virtue. And remember, which we've discussed before, the preamble of our state constitution affirms that the government in Illinois was established for the primary purpose of seeking God's blessings for the people of this state. God will not bless a nation that celebrates sexuality in the public square. America is a constitutional republic, not a democracy. In cases where government is limited by our constitutions, our reps have not been granted the power to decide what will benefit the majority. They are simply tasked with upholding what has already been written. A constitutional republic, unlike a democracy, is a limited form of government. In summary, individuals may choose to accept or reject God's law, but our government operates by God's law, per our governing documents that you swore as our representatives to uphold. So what is God's law? As most people know and thoughtlessly repeat, his law is love, and that's true. But what is love? The Bible, the book that reveals the law and the character of America's God, tells us that God is love. I know they keep telling us that love is love, but defining a word with the same word is idiotic. I know they keep telling us that being inclusive and tolerant is love, but it's not that either. God's character, which is made up of soft virtues like kindness and forgiveness, and hard virtues like justice and honor, defines love. In the Bible, Jesus says that if we truly love him, we will obey all of his commands. In the Constitution, our founding fathers said, in essence, that no matter who we love or whose law we uphold in our own homes, the government of our nation and our towns and our state will operate in a way that honors Jesus Christ. I know this message sounds narrow-minded and intolerant to the ears of this generation. We've been led so far off course about the founding of our nation and the substance of God's word and character that the truth is now abrasive. The gospel of Jesus Christ is precise. God loves all, and God extends salvation to all. He genuinely wants everyone he created to come back into his family. But a true Christian is commanded to walk a very narrow path. The call to obedience, and obedience inspired by love, is what keeps Christianity true and pure. And it's what keeps America true and pure as well. A day is coming when America will honor its God again. And on this day, he will be able to pour his blessings out upon us again. And I'd love for Yorkville to be found in a position to receive those blessings. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? No gospel readings or anything? Okay. Now we have executive session. I am sorry you all want to leave, but we do have an executive session. So I am looking for a motion to go in executive session for items, what are they, lawsuits, litigation, thank you. Action against affecting on behalf of particular public bodies been filed and is pending for a court. Looking for a motion and a second.
No. Second.
And Merrick and was it Funkhauser? Roll call, please.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
No.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Present.
Motion carries.
Oh man, the old three
go guys.
It's 8:33, Transair, so long, motion second, adjourn the meeting.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
You're not properly
thank you.